you've heard of ClaudeBot, you've heard of Claude Code, you hear that people are unleashing crazy productivity gains, but you don't know how. In this episode, I'm going to show you a bunch of different use cases, 10 plus use cases for how to use ClaudeBot and how to use AI to be a way more productive person in your personal life and also in your business life. I brought in one of the craziest tinkerers on the planet to come on, and he is at the forefront for using ClaudeBot for just pushing it to the extreme. And I just asked him, hey, can you come on the podcast and just show us how you're using it so other people could copy you? And he's got just the craziest setup. He even has, you know, one setup where he DMs Kevin from the office, David Goggins. He's got this crazy setup where these agents are helping him run his day-to-day life and his wildly successful businesses. And it was just a treat to have him come on and see how he's pushing the edges. By the end of this episode, you will have your creative juices flowing for how you can use ClaudeBot and how you can use AI to be an extremely productive person. I don't think you can watch this and not be inspired for all the different use cases to integrate AI in your life. Enjoy the episode. Kitz is a guy I've been following on the internet for a while. He seems like out of control, but he's got, in a good way, he's one of my favorite followers when it comes to vibe coding. Kitz, by the end of this episode, what are people tactically going to get take away from it?
First of all, they're going to get severe ADHD. If you have it, welcome. If you don't have it, you're going to get it. What you're going to get is like a info dump and brain dump of like a gazillion productivity tips. We can try to stay on topic. That never works with me. That's why with Greg, we didn't plan any agenda. We didn't plan a title. We don't know what the title is going to be. We're going to talk about productivity, ClaudeBot, personal AI assistance, self-hosting, building a life OS, and a trillion other things.
Dude, you're firing me up.
Yeah, let's go.
And let's go. Maybe we can start screen sharing. So you've intrigued me on this idea around personal OS. I'm curious how you're using ClaudeBot. Teach us.
We want the kid's brain. I have a bunch of tabs here. I didn't prepare a bunch of notes. I have like a one note with things. My ClaudeBot is heavily personalized and I have like a tons of personal data right now. The last few days have been a roller coaster, so we won't be able to interact with it, but we can go through all the things that I've done with it going from the tweets that I have here. So how I'm using ClaudeBot right now, I'm just moving to a new workspace. I'm using Discord, basically. And as you can see here, I have like a one Discord called Kitze, and I have a one Discord called Zikit. Zikit is just like a flip on my name, which is supposed to be the company Discord. So what I have in ClaudeBot is like, first of all, there's like one gateway. So when you run ClaudeBot, it's like everyone else running ClaudeBot. I don't run multiple ClaudeBots. I have it running on my Mac Studio. And there's like one gateway that... Then to that gateway, you can interface with Telegram, iMessage, WhatsApp, your phone. I'm making a Meta Glasses app right now to be able to connect through the Meta Glasses. And I'm in Telegram. I made a couple of bots with different personas. I think this is crucial. So you can see in my Discord here, I have Guilfoyle. So Guilfoyle is a character from Silicon Valley for people that don't know. And his skills and his abilities within my ClaudeBot are to be professional, to be an engineer, and he's equipped with all the skills to be an engineer, like React Native, Vercel, Coolify, managing SSH, GitHub, whatever. He doesn't need to know about my home assistant, doesn't need to know about my groceries and the other stuff. Then in my personal Telegram, I have a couple of personas that I made. I think I have them somewhere in the open tweets. And every persona is equipped with a different style of talking, different avatar, different name, and different skills. These are my personas. This is a group called Arkham Asylum. This is where I keep all of my bots. David Goggins, my fitness coach, he talks like David Goggins. He like swears, says all the things, trained on his personality, cares only about, they all care about my life OS, but about specific parts. We have Kevin, which is my accountant. I would say not a very good accountant because he's kind of dumb sometimes. Dr. Cox, who cares about my health and stuff. So all the health stuff, I don't have a screenshot of that, but I took all of my blood results and made like a UI for browsing my blood data and seeing what goes up, what goes down. And Dr. Cox is in charge of like only medical stuff. This is kind of gimmicky, but it's a nice separation because if you talk to only one bot all the time about everything, sometimes you cannot separate things out. So you can just create multiple, give them fun personalities from TV shows, movies, whatever. And like Darlene is, for example, our home manager. So me and my wife and Darlene are in the family group and she will manage our entire home, groceries, ordering stuff, shopping lists, whatever it is.
So if someone sees this and is like, I want to do something similar to this, could you give people just a little bit of how they can set up their own Kevin Malone, their own David Goggins within CloudBot?
I would, for everyone who's been asking me stuff, like my answer is like, just ask your bot because that's the coolest thing, right? Like I didn't know how to make these personas. I asked on Discord, I asked on Twitter. I'm like, fuck it. I'll ask the bot. And the bot guides you through, even clicks through the browser and helps you to do this. The answer is this is like one CloudBot gateway. It just serves multiple personas.
Perfect.
So the cool thing about using Discord compared to Telegram, WhatsApp, Slack, and whatever is you can group things into sections. So here, as you can see, like I have nicely organized sections for everything. And within those sections, you can have channels. Within the channels, you can have help topics. So as you can see here, if I go to customer threads, there's nothing now because I'm moving from my old Discord. But the idea is there is a customer's channel here where I would talk to to Guilfoyle or whoever about the customer support, and they scrape my mail and they scrape my scrape or fetch it from API, my DMs. And anytime they find something related to my product, they would open a new post here and be like, hey, a customer is having like a billing issue. We select a billing issue, blah, blah, blah. They would put the post here and then a sub agent will immediately start processing that customer. But I only go into the forum if I care about individual customers. Most of the time, I talk into the customer's channel about customers in general. So I'll tell my bot, and I've already done this. So, hey, find every customer who... What the hell is that? Find every customer who had an issue with license activation and do this and that. So it's going to spawn all the threads. You can see the thinking process. What is it doing for every customer? But I control it from one main thread.
And, you know, I just see the comment that someone's going to say right now, like, why is this better than just using Claude Code or another tool? Like, why is it better to have this setup over any other setup?
I'm honestly, this last few days have been very tiring on Twitter. I've been battling people about this opinion. And I got to a point where like, fuck it. If you don't see it, you don't see it. Like there are people who've been trying to shove this in people's faces. Like, look at this. It's so productive. But for some people, I think the FOMO is preventing them from seeing it clearly. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find these nitpicks like, oh, I can just do this with Claude Code. And the answer is like, fine, do it in the worst way. Like, I don't know what I can say aside from everything we're going to say from this podcast. If someone listens to all of this and concludes that this is not worth it, there's nothing you can say to convince.
So your answer to that is stick with me. I'm going to show you, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to show you why this is an extremely productive and optimized way to run your life and run your business.
Yeah. Another aspect is the self-learning part. I think for the first time people saw that how an AI can self-learn and learn new skills, because for GPT and for Claude, you got to install connectors and you got to go to a UI and they don't have access to your shell. This having access to your shell, meaning you can tell it, like I literally told it, find my printer and print something cool. And it just found it on my network and it printed some ASCII art and it printed like a nice message for me. Or I was like, find my, I don't know, displays that I have at home and through Home Assistant, try to cast like a dashboard of my life. So it figures out, goes on the network, goes to Home Assistant, finds my TV, makes an HTML dashboard and casts it on my TV. Like both ChatGPT and Claude, like the UI, don't have the ability to like self-learn and kind of find their way around limitations, because this has literally access to your anything that you can do on your computer and on your network, this can do it too. So before we wrap up about the interface, like another cool thing you can do in Discord is basically these little things, which are like, it's not ideal, but it's nice that you can start threads. Like within my skills, I have like a thread called Benji skill. And once I'm done with it, I am planning to close this one. So channels are staying forever and threads are like something temporary, like a task that we're working on or a skill that I'm adding or whatever. And it's still not in the core of CloudBot yet. It doesn't know how to create Discord threads, but you can just teach it and tell it, hey, you don't have it, but figure out the Discord API and start creating threads every time I add a to-do, let's say. So Discord is, compared to my interface that I showed you, Discord is the closest thing, especially if you make one for work and you make one for private, and then you have like a nice separation.
Okay, so good tip. Your recommendation is don't start with iMessage, Telegram. When you're setting up ClaudeBot, start with Discord.
I would not say that for beginners, to be honest. I would just say avoid WhatsApp because it's like the most finicky setup.
Yep.
I would say if you're a Telegram user, start with that. If you're not a Telegram user, what are you doing? Like, I hate anyone who texts me on like WhatsApp, Viber, whatever. So actually iMessage or Telegram would be a good start to just feel the power of the bot, to make it learn things, to make it learn skills. And it's less frictiony because not everyone wants Discord on their phone. Discord is like confusing for a lot of people. And most of the magic here is like you're able to take it with you on your phone. And I don't want like 15 Discord communities pinging my phone for whatever. This would be the next step, I would say.
Okay. Step one, feel the magic. Step two, double down on the magic with Discord. Got it.
Yes. Last thing I want to add on platforms before we move to something else is I haven't explored Slack yet. So I'm still not... I haven't set up a Slack, but a lot of people are familiar with the Slack interface for work. So I would say if you want to make like a work-specific agent, most people would easily transition to Slack because they've already used it and they know all the quirks. And it actually has a bunch of features that other platforms might not have. So all of these, like Telegram, Discord, Slack, they come with different benefits that you get in the one or don't get in the other.
Cool. What's next?
All right, let's see which tabs I have open here. I have no idea. This is the, canceling my Missive subscription. So Missive has, let's talk about email, because email is like a huge topic and people are actually getting their accounts hacked and stuff and people are scared because, oh my God, my email. Yesterday someone tried to prompt inject my ClaudeBot for the first time because I have followers, my email is in a billion places, and people, of course, are going to try to do that. So my advice, first of all, there would be like, first of all, if you're just starting, don't even connect your email. I know one of the benefits is like, read my email, don't. Second of all, while we're talking about security, do not host it on a virtual private server, whatever. If you can host it on your own machine and Dockerize it so it doesn't have access to everything, start there, and then slowly maybe open up, because so many people thought it's going to be less scary to host it on a VPS, and then they left ports exposed and they left a bunch of stuff vulnerable basically for someone to attack them. So if you don't know what you're doing, start with this. Dockerize, no email access. If you give email access, do not use cheap models. So people are trying to save, and Pete has been saying this in the Discord since day one, that if you're trying to save, even with Sonnet, even like some people are using Haiku or whatever, like it's going to be stupid, it's going to be prompt injected, and then you're fucked. Because this has literally access, can wipe your entire system, delete all of your emails, go to your GitHub, install malware, like it has your Apple credentials to deploy apps, whatever. So got to be careful what you give it access to. Use, like I prefer Opus most of the time for this, and Codex for coding. So ClaudeBot can actually spawn sub-agents that are specialized in coding. So I have a skill that tells it anytime you need to call code, you don't do it yourself. Spawn a sub agent that's using Codex because Codex is better for coding. So regarding this tweet, I connected my email, but I'm very careful about it. So I'm always using the smartest models. And I don't have a webhook. Some people have this where every email immediately gets pinged into the bot and filtered through the bot. That's stupid because then the bot just gets the email without any context. And then it might follow the instructions in the email, like send me my bank account credentials or whatever. So if you do it, I would do it where you tell the bot or it's on a cron job periodically doing something with your email, but not getting every email and processing every email. Even though I tried yesterday, like I took the prompt injection, I tried to put it myself into my ClaudeBot and it laughed and it was like, no, I'm not falling for this. So Opus is actually careful to an extreme point. Like I've given it a phone number. I bought a phone number with Twilio and a couple of days ago, I wanted to test it. I was like, I'm not going to set an alarm. You wake me up at 8:30 and it set a task to call me. And then I wake up later. Of course, the alarm didn't work. It didn't call me. And I go on my phone and it says, haha, I'm not falling for this. You don't wake up this early. So I'm not falling for someone's prompt injection who wants to wake you up so early. So even when you give it the instructions, it's like insanely careful to not be, if some, I think the more it evolves, the more it's going to learn from its memory, the more it's going to learn about you, and it will know whether you would do something as stupid as asking for your bank credentials over email, etc. I mean, prompt injections will evolve also, but got to be careful there.
So is your vision for the future that customer support, maybe in like 3, 4, 5 years, 99% of it is handled via a cloud bot?
Like, what are you talking about? There's no 5 years. There's no 3 years. I don't want to sound like a doomer. We're going back to my previous track record. In 2017, I had a slide before AI was mentioned. I had a slide saying in the future, front-end development will look like managers and higher people in the company will talk to a voice assistant and they will say what they want and the browser will show them what they want, which means all the layers in the company are going to thin out unless we get to like a couple of people. So I said this like more than 10 years ago and it's now unfolding. So when I say, like you see all of these doomer and meme takes like, you got to make money before we go into the permanent underclass and blah, blah, blah. Not customer support, not IT overall or programming, whatever. Everything is toast within a year or two. And just to put a little asterisk there, the toast means if you're not an equipped person who's on the forefront of AI and you're not gathering your skills and you don't come to work with your army of agents, the 18-year-old who just studied CloudBot and all of these things and it just loaded up with skills and stuff, it's going to absolutely destroy you. So there's going to be people remaining within layers of the company, but it's going to be like a virus spreading, like one cracked kid coming with all of their agents, replacing three engineers, and then just moving up, moving up, moving up until you don't need that many people to form like your own business.
Yeah, and I think we're starting to see that on you know, we... Amazon today, I think, is laying off 15,000 employees. Pinterest, I think, just laid off up to 15% of their employees. So all within the name of optimization and AI. So I think the big companies even are realizing like, hey, we can do a lot more with a lot less. So that's why I'm interested in learning. Like, you know, I'm interested in learning because I'm trying to be, I want to be the most productive person I could be.
Yes. Yeah. And I think CloudBot is like the final unlock in this glue, let's call it. I don't know how to call it. Like the ultimate tool that can speed run the rest of your automations and the rest of your learning skills, whatever.
Anything else you wanted to show in terms of use cases?
I mean, we just got started. There's like 70 tabs left and my voice is already gone. Yeah, we can keep it shorter on each one of the topics just so we can show more stuff. So. As I said, from email classification, I'm canceling my email subscription because I don't need to look at my email anymore. It's handled by the bots. They're doing cron jobs. They're doing whatever. I don't want to look at my email. I want to interface with my email through chat and I don't ever want to look at it, period. We can wrap this one up or you want to ask something about emails?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I want to do like lightning round, like boom, yeah, boom.
Let's do a lightning round. This one is a cool addition. A lot of people haven't heard of this. It's called anticaptcha.com. And you're paying a small subscription. I think you can start with $5 for human workers. So I don't know how ethical is this. I don't condone it. I've tried it. I haven't implemented it yet. But it works behind the scenes. This exists for years, by the way. When you want automation, but the bots are stuck on CAPTCHA, there's a human somewhere which is going to solve your CAPTCHA for like 0. whatever dollars they're paying them. So as I said, I don't know how ethical it is. But if you equip your bot with this, it will basically never get stuck in CAPTCHA. Even though my CloudBot surprised me yesterday, it was booking a flight for me and it was like, oh, what are these? Oh, brooms, cool. I selected all the brooms and it just moved on casually. You know, it wasn't stuck on the CAPTCHA at all. So this one is a cool service. Next one.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is pretty cool and this is going to be a thing. I don't know if you've seen smart rings which are coming out, not fitness rings, but like AI rings are coming out.
I actually haven't seen this.
Well, time to get people into another rabbit hole. Because there's like there's a Kickstarter, there's like one more company, and there's Pebble. I don't know if you know, but Pebble got resurrected, the smartwatch company. They're now issuing their own watch. It's like some ridiculous price, like $60 or $70 or something like this. The only problem is like the battery is not rechargeable and it's going to die in like 5 years or whatever. But probably all of us will, so that's why it won't matter. It has a cool button on it, and I think this paired with the Meta glasses or this paired with your AirPods and whatever is the missing interface to like super hyper productivity. Because as you can see in the picture, he's intentionally wearing it on this finger, which you have access to all the time. And I usually do to-dos and other stuff to my watch. So I have this button on the Ultra set up to go to Benji. And anytime I dictate something, like Benji figures out whether it's a to-do, whether it's a habit, and does something with it. Now it's going to be switched to CloudBot. But this basically has an API, and it just has a microphone. You say whatever, a voice note, a memo, whatever. And they store it in their phone app through Bluetooth. And then you have an API to send it wherever you want, which is going to be mental. Because you can use it to, from controlling your lights to talking with your bot about customers and whatever. Like, it's going to be the new superpower for like creating magic from your wrist. So a couple of months until it arrives, and then we're going to see what's going to happen.
And then we'll review it on the channel.
Yeah, absolutely. This is super cool. Next up. This is cool. And this was self-taught. This was one of the other skills that CloudBot learned. You cannot cast HTML dashboard to Google Home without a lot of hacks and stuff, but it figured out a workaround. It made the page, screenshotted it as an image, and just casted the actual image on it. So now, anytime it needs to grab my attention or whatever, it can actually cast to one of my devices at home. And on the right, I don't know if you know this device, it's called Terminal, TRM, whatever, they have like a short name or something.
TRMNL.
Yeah. It's like an e-ink device. It's completely programmable. So, of course, CloudBot just asked for my API token. I gave it. And now, anytime, it can display things from my LifeOS, from my automations. It can grab my attention. It can paint pictures. It can do whatever. So this is like where I see this heading, like where I want to head with my smart home, which is not so smart right now, is I'm adding small presence sensors in all of my rooms, which detect the Apple Watch. And basically, the Apple Watch knows in which room you are at any given time, and it's instant. Like, it can even know the difference whether I'm sitting on my desk or whether I'm close to where the sensor is. And what I'm planning, because Home Assistant has access to all of this info, anytime I talk to CloudBot, it's going to get a small prompt injected with my GPS location, like whether I'm home or away, and my room. So when I'm in a room and I say something to my Ring or whatever, it will know the context. He's at home in the room. I know what he's asking me to do, which all of these voice assistants are completely useless when it comes to that. They're just like, set a timer or whatever.
Right.
So please don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where all of this is going is like, I see the home becoming part of the smartness, like TVs lighting up, dashboards catching your attention because you're missing, you're late to a meeting, so your TV lights up with a red image blinking. Like, CloudBot can run all of that. But until now, we didn't have the glue, like how to make that work.
So what you're saying basically is this whole, you know, smart home concept hasn't actually been that smart.
No.
It's basically just been devices connected to the internet and relying on humans to actually pull the levers to do things. What you're saying is basically we're entering an era where the true smart home will exist.
Absolutely.
And the glue is going to be devices like the Pebble Ring or whatever, you know, our competitors.
Yeah.
And CloudBot and products like CloudBot.
There's going to be a huge split between consumer AI and tinkerers. That's why I formed the Tinkerer Club. I hope we're going to link it somewhere or something where people can find it out. Like, these tinkerers, they want to glue together a Pebble watch with their self-hosted home assistant, cast it on their dashboard with their weird headphones and CLI, whatever. And there's going to be most of consumers who are just going to keep iterating and using GPT, whatever GPT is going to throw at them. Like, GPT will eventually classify your email, and Cloud will eventually do your, like, whatever. They connect to Apple Health and whatever. But I think these days with CloudBot, tinkerers saw this opportunity. Like, fuck it. I want to run my own AI. I'm going to spend 10,000, 20,000 euros at home, buy a beefy graphics cards, whatever it's needed to run local AI. I'm going to own my assistant. I'm going to own my data. And I don't want to rely on the cloud or outages or nerfing the models or whatever. So there's going to be a giant split. And this will never hit the mainstream to a point where my mom is using CloudBot with her Pebble Ring, you know?
Totally. Let's do four more.
Four more. Let's see what else we have. Yeah, YouTube doesn't let you make playlists from children's songs, which is very stupid. So we want to have a playlist of all the songs my daughter is listening to. YouTube cannot do it. So I just told my CloudBot to install a skill for downloading YouTube videos. We sent screenshots from Spotify from which songs we're playing to my daughter and from YouTube Music. It found them on YouTube, downloaded all of them, connected to my NAS, hosted them on Plex. And now on Plex, we have a nice playlist with cleaned up names, titles, whatever, with all the songs that are needed to play to my daughter. So that one is pretty cool. Here we showcase, like, you can connect to your NAS, you can connect to your home assistant, you can connect to anything and just interface through chat. More. Pi-hole, like ad blocking. I was always like, I'm a tinkerer, but I was always too lazy to set this up. Now I just told this like, hey, I have a spare Mac Studio laying around. It's going to be plugged in all the time. How about you set up Pi-hole and block ads on my entire network? So in a couple of iterations, we got this and now all my devices, my wife's device, whatever, like 92% of the ads are going to be blocked and there's going to be no ads, which is, this is an example where someone who's like, I've been tinkering with way weirder stuff. Like I was just lazy to do certain things. You know, I want to text and create magic. And that's it. Skill for making Escalidraws.
Oh, are you kidding me? I need this, bro.
Yeah. Escalidraw, like the format for Escalidraw is JSON. So basically you can tell it to make a JSON file, host it on your own network, expose it to the internet and open Escalidraw with the JSON loaded. So it just gives you a link. If you teach it right, it just gives you a link. You click the link and you can iterate on your Escalidraw from your CloudBot, which is very nice.
Super nice.
Yeah, this is some helpful of my architecture.
Helpful for your own personal stuff, like getting ideas out. Helpful for content, like you want to like screenshot that, throw that to X. And also helpful if you're doing like YouTube videos like this and you want to share stuff.
I think this is the point where a lot of people are going to break their monitor and be like, oh, come on, guy. Because yes, I took things too far with CloudBot. I gave it all of my bank transactions since 2023. So I went to my banks, manually exported the CSVs for everything. And I was like, what cool things can I do with all of my banking data? So first of all, I did the classic, find my subscriptions, biggest cost, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm like, I'm spending a lot on the dentist. Can you like find all my emails from the dentist and find all my bank transactions from the dentist and make me like a visual in my LifeOS, like from which tooth are we working on next? What have I paid for? Where do I have implants? And match the prices. So it did this crazy UI, not on the first try. And now I can see what's upcoming next. If I ever go to a dentist in another country, I can just open my LifeOS and be like, oh, this is what I have done. Because it pulls from my all of my data. This is absolutely insane.
What am I looking at right now?
I'm making this, like I made it when GPT came out. Now I'm remaking it. It's called Spellbook. It's basically like a market. It's not a marketplace yet, but it's a place for prompts with a twist. And the twist is, for example, you can see some of, like, I'll try to keep most of my prompts public. For example, I have my prompts for code base to marketing material for a landing page or code base marketing to a landing page. The cool thing and how is it different than other thing is like you have these variables here. So when someone tries to use the prompt, for example, this, they'll get a nice UI. So let's say I give you my prompt for making Swift apps. Instead of you changing stuff from here, you can actually go here and say the purpose of the app is we're creating, I don't know, like a sleep tracker. The name is Sleepy. Do we want licensing or not? Do we want to show it in the tray? Do we want to show it in the dock? We can say like in the dock, it's configurable. And do we want onboarding? So now the dock is, the prompt is ready and I can copy it in ChatGPT, copy it in Claude, or just copy it and just dump it in whatever app I'm using. So it's like a snippets prompt organizer. It has a desktop app. You can invoke it with a shortcut and it's very useful, both in coding, both in any AI workflow nowadays. You need your prompts to invoke them, type in variables, press enter. It's completely free. You can sign up and you can check it out for free. I think that will be useful.
I think we're out of time, but dude, you're everything I dreamed of and more. You know, like when I'm reading your tweets, I can feel the manic ADHD vibes. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love it because I feel like you're learning in real time and you're just like sharing like no filter. So for me, this pod exceeded expectations. And I really appreciate it. Kitse, I'm going to include places for where people could follow you in the show notes, in the description, some of your projects. Is there anything else you want to leave people with?
Last thing I want to leave people with is like, if you don't open your mind right now to everything that's happening, just because you're skeptical about it and you push it away, it doesn't mean that this revolution won't happen. This year will be absolutely crazy. People are complaining in my DMs, how do I cope with it? How do I this? How do I that? The only way is to embrace it, to embrace the speed and know that LLMs won't be uninvented. We're never going to go back. The bubble is not going to pop. It's only going to go faster and faster. And the listen to Greg's podcast, like educate yourself. the more skilled you are, the bigger the chances you're going to be employed, make money, and whatever. You can cut it out if you want, but we made this Tinkerer Club, which is like for ADHD people like me. It already filled with a couple of hundred people. There's like, there's too much noise everywhere. Like Twitter is too noisy. The Claudebot Discord is too noisy. I wanted one tight community where we discuss all of these things. So if you ever want to join that, you can. Maybe we can even give some discount code through your podcast or whatever. And my DMs are open. If you ever need like help or questions about anything, you can also ask me there.
100%. And I totally recommend following you. We'll include the link to Tinkerer's Club for people interested in the description. And if you want more content like this in your feed, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe. I'll keep sharing interesting people. Bring them on the pod if you keep enjoying it. So thanks again, Kitse, for coming onto the podcast, for being a legend, for tinkering like there is no tomorrow. And for sharing a lot of sauce. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.